This is Whiskey Alpha 2, Alpha X-Ray Zulu for the K2IRT, New York City Transit Amateur Radio Group. Meeting here just about every Thursday night from 8 to 9 o'clock to have a general chat about anything from ham radio to trains to buses to whatever's on the table. Don't have to be a member to join, just come on in and join the fun. Again, we'll stand by for a second. This is Bob, WA2AXZ. And we're here for the K2IRT group, standing by for check-in.
WB2YZX.
All right. Oh, Charlie, how you doing tonight?
All right, not bad. How about you? What you been up to? I got on last week. It was just being rich there for a few minutes. That was about it.
Yeah, a lot of running around there, but we're back now. I spent most of the day with Andy KF2WR, and he told me about what we're going to be doing there. So we'll be doing it. We'll be out there looking and hopefully finding another home out there. Well, I just walked in the house and threw the basset hound out in the backyard. Hot as hell. It's still 86 degrees up in the shack. I opened up the windows to get a little air in here. Hopefully things calm down a little bit. Well, Charlie, what's happening on your side? Anything new? WB2YZX, this is the K2IRT group.
WA2AXZ, WB2YZX. Well, he's going to have to contend with those fuel day sheets for a change. That's one thing I never did look forward to. But what are you going to do? It would have been fun to do something. I mean, I just got so much stuff going on here. I haven't even been on the radio that much. And that's kind of unusual for me, but little delicious change in my life, if you know what I mean.
Thank you. So on that. Well, I'm looking at a whole bunch of mail that just came in. We had a special event on the 72-2, and everybody's sending in the QSL cards, and it just so happens I have all the QSL cards for K1R. So I'll be sending this out to the gang, and hopefully that'll be it. Big run around today. I was up at 53rd Street today and met with Andy and the gang, and I also met with the Transit Museum and the Liberty Science Center people. Apparently, they wanted some inspiration as to the power exhibit that's coming up, so we gave them the grand $20 tour up and down, around and through, and hopefully things are pretty good over there. We'll see what happens. I'll probably have a meeting towards the end of the month, and we'll take a look and see what we have to do. Other than that, just turn the fan on, the ceiling fan, to get some air movement in here. It's pretty stagnant in here now.
Well, apparently I had a little power failure during the night. I woke up, I don't know, maybe 5 in the morning. I said, man, it's hot in here. Why is my air conditioning off? And I looked around and everything was black. And then with that, the power came back on. I don't know how long it was out, but it did go out, and these things happen. In fact, I just got finished resetting some of my alarm clocks and things that had to be reset because of that. Did you do that, Moby? No, I didn't think so. And what else? Not much else I can think of. Actually, I'm not going to stay in here too long because I have a little WA2AXZ, WB2YZX.
Charlie, hang in there. The check-in, come on in.
Evening, gents. KF2WR with a mouthful of frosted shredded wheat. How are you? What's going on? KF2WR, over
you,
local.
Hi, Bob. Hey, Andy, KF2WR and the K2IRT group, WA2AXZ. Nothing much, just at home. I stopped off at the local watering hole, and after a couple, well, let's see. We started with the Yingling, A couple of Bloody Marys and a Guinness there. I don't feel the heat anymore.
That's like liquid air conditioning. That's cool.
You know, they have ammonia air conditioning, so I don't know about the alcohol side, though, but we'll have to find that. But we had a good time. The museum people definitely had a great time, and they took plenty of notes. And hopefully, when we have our next meeting, they'll be inspired to run this electrical exhibit through. Other than that, nothing else. It's just hot as hell.
Normally when I leave, I close the windows and the doors here in the Radio Shack, and it was 87 degrees before. Now I'm happy to report we're having a blizzard up here, and it's only 85. KF2WR, got the K2IRD.
K2IRD group, this is KF2WR. Wow, Logan, that sounds like it's really hot up there. I'm one of those people, I just use as much electricity as I can, it's just the way it is. We fare pretty well. You've seen that 14,000 megawatts we got right up close to. That was some concern today we had there, but we fared pretty well. And service ran everywhere, I'm happy to report. And it was no small effort from all involved. Not much going on here, I'm taking apart another plane. I've crashed two, I've totaled two planes. That's what I was doing last week. I was trying out my new engine when I wasn't on the net. That plane lasted a total of three flights. And now I just took it all apart. I'm going to go buy another one probably tomorrow. KF2WR.
Doesn't it give you a good feeling, Andy, when it goes up? And just as fast as it goes up, it comes down. And then it's disappeared over a hill somewhere. And you know, you got to pick up the dustpan and pick up the part. Oh, what a pain, man. Hey, let's see if we have anybody else out here for the K2IRD.
WA2AFG. And 2LTD, Marcus, Southeast Queens. Good evening.
How are you doing today? You got WA2AZ for the K2IRT group. Hopefully your lights are still on and the air conditioning is flowing.
Yes, it is. Yes, the lights are on, the AC is going in all the rooms. I kind of, I'm like Andy, I use up as much electricity that I can to stay warm in all the rooms. I'd like to say hello to Charlie, too. Also heard him out there. He sounds very happy. I don't know why, but we'll talk about that later.
All right, Marcus. That's WA2AXZ for the K2IRT group there. Yeah, well, I just walked into the house, and I had a long day running around with the museum people up in on 53rd Street. And just came home, took the little hound for a walk, and I do best. I'm here in the shack, 85 degrees in the shack. I've got my feet up, I've got the ceiling fan on, and I'm just looking for any relief I can find. Let's give it over to Charlie, WB2YZX.
Good evening to Marcus, and good evening to Andy. And always good to hear you guys. And actually, I have to get out of here. And I bet I got a new girlfriend. Now they know if I'm here to Montreal, so what? And at my age, you know. So I'm going to be on the side. Actually, my lady friend likes ham radio. Can you imagine that? But we'll see what develops with this. Sounds too good to be true. So what do you mean too wise and actually be on the side? Back to you, Bobby.
Hi, Andy. Charlie, sorry about that. Give her all our best, and definitely get her hooked into the radio. You'll save on the phone calls when you get her on 2 meters. Oh, I love it. All right, Andy, we'll turn it back down to you, see what's going on. You're finally home after that crazy generator runaround. I saw what was going on.
Yeah, we got like five generators deployed. Only one is spinning. All the rest are just standing by. But that's what we're good at, contingency. Can't take that away from us. We're 150s, but we had to talk them out of that.
And it's funny, we asked the guy in the bus depot, we were told to bring over two generators. And I asked him, what kind of load are you looking at, and what are you looking to power with these generators? And the answer I got was, gee, I don't know. I said, what's your most mission-critical thing? I said, would it be getting fuel out of the ground to put in the buses? He goes, yeah, that sounds pretty mission-critical. I said, okay, we'll set the generators up to the fuel depots. Oh, it never ends.
Got these so-called building maintenance people there that know nothing about electricity and wonder how they can be a building maintenance. Pretty much all they know is get the buckets and mop and clean up, and that's about it. But yeah, that's all the questions we have to ask. Whatever they really need, we'll give it to them. A lot of big things is that metro card, the fare, and the money machine. That takes a tremendous amount of juice. So they've got a choice there. They can either do that, or they even have to pair off two generators for that, just to collect the money. And, I don't think the TA is worried about money anymore. We don't have any. All right, let's give it up to Marcus and see what Marcus...
Okay, well, they got two out of the four elevator banks that I use shut down. They got perimeter lighting on the floors right near the windows. They have those turned off. And they're making us turn off our computers and monitors at the end of the day, which we usually don't do. We usually log off, but we do not shut down. But the last 2 days we've done it. They send an email out. They want us to save electricity. So a lot of that going on all over the place.
I tell you, there's been a lot of criticism about shutting off the elevators and escalators, but people don't realize the elevators and escalators don't like to operate at low voltage. And with all those new electronic controls and the protective circuits there, they shut down anyhow, and the last thing you want to do is strand people. But like everything else, you get on the news, and they're always pointing fingers at us, the damn transit authority. We shut off the elevators and escalators as though we can wave a magic wand and make everything work, especially when the voltage goes down to 95 and below. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. We'll be damned if we do and damned if we don't. You know, it's hard to get it right for everybody to approve, so. Well, I went on a little vacation to the Hamptons. We went out to Montauk. And I used my radio on the beach, really didn't make no contact. I was trying to do some 6-meter contact back up to my uncle in Orange County, but was unable to. But I had a good time playing with my radio, and of course I left some things home, that's why I actually couldn't go on the other band. But I'll be ready next time.
I know, this was disappointing for me because I didn't even have a chance to pick up a microphone Saturday or Sunday or field day. I was running around between the wedding and the other stuff we were going on there. One thing we are going to do is we're going to let the summer go by. I talked to Andy today. We're not going to have any face-to-face meetings July or August. Let's let the summer go by. We'll pick back up where we started again in September. And we'll get ready for the next field day and get everything together. I think we'll just go back to our other home base, good old Hamels, because I have a funny feeling that the way the funding and everything is, nobody's going to be doing any rebuilding out there for a long time. Let's give it up to Andy, KF2WR, get the K2IRT group.
Funny you mentioned our old home, Hamels. I'm just waiting for that wall to fall off come this winter. I think we've been just way too lucky with it. But that would be the catalyst to get the rest of the station done if that wall falls off. You know, they could just shit the block, that whole thing up, and it would really work out well all around. They could finally put the money in that they need, without a doubt.
Now, Marcus, good to hear you out there, my friend. Good to hear you. Good to hear you saying cool. Everything's quiet here in New Jersey. I'm just looking on the internet.
I'm just looking for a parts to buy. KM2WR, back over to you, local.
Mark.
Hi,
Jim.
What? Is it a mop broken?
Yeah, doodads, little engine doodads, and, you know, radio doodads for, you know. But the kits are nice now. They come pretty much all together. All the fabric and stuff is already stretched over the wings. So it's pretty much put the tail feathers on, put the wings on, mount the motors and servos, and you too can go crash a $200 plane.
Good
luck
to come over here and exploit that field on the weekends, because they have the... They actually have one of the runways at Lloyd Bennett Field Air Force Base blocked off, and they have the model airplane pilots zooming their planes around right off the main runway. And they're even running jet planes over here, and it's amazing because sometimes when I do the 72 rag shoe on 40 meters at the beach, you hear this whine and you think there's a real plane coming over, and you see this little... this little trail of smoke and this little putt-putt going over your head, guys.
What day and what time?
Come on back.
What day and what time do they usually do that?
It's usually on the weekend. Usually on the weekend, starting early in the morning, about 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning.
And they're not still charging at the gate yet to come in, are they?
Nope. You just drive in and head over to that area there. You've got to go all the way down runway 33 to my runway 24 towards the historic aircraft hangar. And once you hit the historic aircraft hangar, you just make a left and keep on going till you can't go anymore, and you'll find that little airfield. Apparently the Park Service closed off one of the long runways. There's a very long runway that runs from the beach all the way to Flatbush Avenue. It's got to be a mile plus. And they're saying it's for environmental reasons, but I have a funny feeling that you think it's for an emergency landing field, Ed.
Yeah, from the beach to Flatbush, you said it's long, but that's actually... the short way, because they got the one that goes, I guess you would call it more north to south. Isn't that the longest one there?
This is...
north to south one, that's the main road, that's runway 33. And that goes pretty much from the Marine Park Bridge all the way to the Bell Parkway. I don't think anyone can use it, though, because they put those, those barriers in the... what the hell are those things again? You know, those galvanized steel bumping blocks on the sides. You know, if you had a plane coming down there, the last thing you'd want to do is rub against those things as you're coming down. But the only clear runway is an east and west runway, the original runway 24 that goes from Flatbush Avenue to the waterfront.
Okay, didn't know that. Now I do. Yeah, I don't know why they didn't maintain the long one. I guess they have their reason. That would be a good emergency landing area. So, Andy, give me a quick showing on how do you crash the plane after three times. Does it go out of range, or do you hit a tree, or does it run out of fuel, or what?
$150 I'll pick up. Take about 10 hours to put it together. And
because the motor and all that stuff is reusable. The motor, the radio, the servos, every all that stuff's reusable. And I'll be back up to flying. I have a very large plane, but let me let this drop.
I picked up a secondhand, I picked up a Tiger 60. It's a really big plane, and that thing works well in the higher winds. It does, it comes in, but it comes in fast. To land this thing, it comes in really hot. With that big runway you're talking about, Loeb, would be ideal, because this thing eats up a lot of that grass field. And Marcus, if you're interested, when I get the new plane built, you want to take a ride out to Jersey one morning, come out and hang out. We fly out of a real active airport, which is nice, too, because they have the banner planes coming in to pick up and snatch the banners and to tow them up and down the Long Island Sound and the Jersey Shore.
You can come out. I'll let you know where it is. Come out, meet us for the day. We all set up tents. We hang out. We have our coolers. We have a lot of laughs. And so, guys, got some nice stuff out there. But I will warn you, like AM radio, this stuff is highly addictive. KF2WR.
Yeah, I was thinking that myself. That's all I need is another hobby. Put another one on the back burner and start another one. Okay, well, I got an idea on how how it gets destroyed by mistake. I'm sure you didn't do it on purpose. I just want to know if it goes out of range or hits a tree or whatever. But, like you said, 100, 150, and get back in the sky, that's not that bad. And 2LTV.
Yes, it's a small price to pay, because you could have a plane literally last you 5 years, 6 years. The little engines last for 20 years, as long as you don't have to bend it up. They'll last you for 20 years. So, it's just stuff you buy once and you just keep reusing it. KF2WR, back over to you, Rob.
And Mark, I was enjoying your talking there, because I'm busy making out the QSL cards for the 72-2 July 4th weekend there. You got K2IRT with WA2AXZ to fly. Pause for a second and tell everybody this is the New York City Transit Amateur Radio Club, meeting here every Thursday, just about every Thursday, from 8 to 9 o'clock for a general chat about anything from ham radio. Today we're into model airplanes, so if anyone wants to check in, come on in.
And I'm posing these as questions for the future. N1 ABN from WA.
So, Yankee Alpha Kilo.
Kilo Charlie 2, YIJ. Kilo Charlie 2, Yankee India Juliet.
Kilo Charlie 2, Yankee India Juliet. Good evening. How you doing there? You got Lobie here for the K2 IRT group. What's happening on your side tonight?
Nothing. I was just sitting here monitoring. I just got in. I heard you guys talking about airplanes, and then I was monitoring, and then you said anyone wants to check in. I just decided to pick up the mic.
More than welcome. You're more than welcome here. Yeah, the gang gets on here every Thursday night for an hour or so, and you guys a general chat about anything. My name is Lobie or Bob. Pick one. I have two first names, believe it or not. And I'm down here by Pink's Plaza off of Flatbush Avenue. And you got the rest of the gang here, from power to communications to whatever. And, you got a good group of guys out here. Go ahead. By the Shea Stadium, are you there? Any games going on, or is it quiet out there tonight?
FDR.
one hell of a roadway. Right up quite frequently, heading back and forth, and it's still interesting, especially during rush hours there. It gives you a new term for the meeting patients. Go ahead.
You know what gives you the new meaning of the word patient? The Crossroads Expressway.
That's like a bad word.
I don't know about a bad word, but that's second only to the Long Island Expressway, I should say, the Long Island parking lot. Go ahead.
I don't think anything is slower, and I think they actually did a study. They actually did a study not too long ago in, of all the slowest highways, the most congested highways in the country, and I think the Crossroads Expressway was one of the first. I think it was either first or the second, but it was up there.
K2IRC Group, the WATA Group. Well, again, we, Andy and I and the rest of us have driven up there many, many a day, and once you get on the expressway, you see, I don't even know why they bothered calling it an expressway. You just get on it, and you wait. Usually something's happened, maybe an 18-wheeler jackknifed, maybe 20 miles down the road, and you're backed up to the George Washington Bridge, okay?
Yeah, but you know, the Crossroads is backed up all the time. If I go on it right now, it's backed up. 3 o'clock in the morning, it's just backed up. It's, I don't know what it is with that highway. It's just backed up all the time.
It's the Crossroads local way.
Well, look at it this way. If it's backed up, a little milk of magnesia will cure any problems that they happen to have. Definitely, the traffic is horrendous here, and I always, you know, I was part of the emergency services there. We used to worry about the evacuation of New York City in case of a big disaster, and it just brings to mind, you see any rush hour in New York City, and there will never be a time when they can easily and quickly evacuate people from the city. If anything ever hits the fan, forget it. Might as well kiss their behinds goodbye. You got K2IRT.
K2IRT. Yeah, well, I work for EMS. And we try very, very desperately not to take any patients to the hospital by the Crossroads Expressway. Because once you get on, it's very difficult. They don't even yield to sirens anymore, these people. They just sit there, and you're right behind them, and they just sit there, and you have to go around them.
I think somebody else was checking in.
Okay, KC2IAK, I'm going to stand by. Go right ahead.
Hey, KC2IAK, KWA2AZ for the K2IRT group. Do we have any new check-ins? Come on in.
KC2PUI.
KC2PUI, good evening. How you doing? Name here is Lobie. Dropping out at every other word there, so you can just move your antenna, move the radio somewhere, and try it again, please.
Also, check your battery. If you're on a portable, check your battery. Yeah, I heard it up that time. Say again.
Thank you.
that's not going to be able to do it. But I'd like to direct it as a night ball, but it is very, very, very
WA2AXZ and 2LPD. So how's the puppies? Can we still call him a puppy or is he too big?
I got this little dog next to me now, and I say little with a big smile on my face. This little guy is maybe about 3 foot long now. He's a very long hound. He's 8 months old. He's about 40 some odd pounds. And the other night I decided I haven't had the air conditioning on in a while, so I turned the air conditioning on and I let him stay up in the bedroom with me. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm wondering why I'm at the edge of the bed. And this little guy jumped up on the bed, and he's on his back, and he's fully stretched out and enjoying every bit of the air conditioning. Like, well, you get off the bed. The bed belongs to me now, and thank you very much for turning on the air conditioning, Greg.
Wow. Stretched out. Yeah, once he learns how to do it that first time, that's it. When it's hot, he's going to be enjoying the AC.
Hey, little guy. I got home just about 7:30, took him for a quick walk around the corner there, and he did his thing, and he enjoyed being out. Tomorrow, I'll be doing some work at picking yards, so I'm going to get up early in the morning, just as the sun rises. And I take them for a quick run to the park and back again, and I just get all the exercise I can out of them. And it's a shame, but I leave him in the kitchen. He's got the whole kitchen to run around in. And I even gave him his own box fan. So when I'm not there, he sits in front of the fan and cools himself off. He got K2 IRT.
Bringing up the repeater, but all I'm hearing is like, it's like your battery's weaker when you try to modulate, you kick out.
Yeah, that's a shame, I've been trying to run this thing at low power at 5 watts. Now I'm running at about 25 to 30. Is this any better?
Oh, not you, Lobby, the other station. I can tell it's him again. You're okay, you've still been dropping out from one machine to the other, but we can hear you on both machines.
I've been trying to keep the power at minimum, because the other fellow a couple weeks ago suggested that I was running at higher power, I was picking up more than one repeater. So I'll keep it at 5 watts there. The other station, come on in. Let's give it a go.
I guess he's checking his system out.
Oh, well, and that's the way it goes. Hey, I'm happy to report I've lost a degree. It's now 84 degrees up in the radio shack. We're definitely getting one step closer to chilling that Guinness on the rocks. Let's give it over to Andy, KS2WR, and see what's happening down his side on the Jersey Shore.
KS2WR, Andy here from New Jersey. See, you guys are talking about traffic there on that Cross Bronx and the Knoll Parkway. You know, when I move to Jersey, every day is a sunny day, and we've never had traffic once. Isn't that something?
No way.
I don't know about that. The next thing, we'll believe in Peter Pan and the fairies next.
We got a thing here called Shore Traffic that'll be the band, holy ass. I guess it's just part of living in this neck of the woods. Lobe, like myself, you've driven all the way across this great, wonderful country of ours. And you see, when you get out west, man, it gets wide open very quickly when you get out there. There are areas out there where you can stand in the road for half an hour, read a book, and not worry about another automobile or vehicle coming.
But it's where we choose to live, and I tell you, I love it for the time being. KF2WR, back over to Mint Control.
I agree. Matter of fact, one of the best things with K2IRD, one of the best things that I loved is going through Kansas on the interstate, and you start at one end of Kansas and go to the other end after you leave the Colorado Rockies there, and you have perfectly flat land, and you can still see the Rocky Mountains in your rearview mirror when you're leaving Kansas. And you've already driven 250, 300 miles, and they're still looming in the background. So, again, you know, there's just too many people there that they're quick. They're going to run over to, they have to run over to England. They have to run over to France. They'll run anywhere they can, but they've never experienced the great country that this is. And they've never celebrated how good America really is. So, you know, I always tell everybody, you know, see this place first. And then get a chance to go over and see all the stuff over there. We'll give it back to Andy one more time. We'll go down the list and see if anyone else wants to join us. This is K2IRT.
Yeah, my business on the Kansas. The state that intrigued me the most, I think, was Texas. I came out of, you know, Louisiana into Texas at mile marker number one. And that road went all the way across Texas to mile marker 600 and something. Texas starts off on the east side. It's just lush, it's green, it's moist, it's bushy. Getting around the middle of Texas, all you see is oil jacks pumping up and down. No houses, just oil jacks and windmills. And the other end of Texas is pretty much desert.
I just thought that was a great contrast for one state to have. So with that, I guess that might be it. I'm just going to sit here and just fiddle for a little while more and fool some parts. Well, it's been a pleasure, and I'll kick out to Jersey one of these Saturdays or Sundays for a nice afternoon. I'll watch some planes go up and down. And Loeb, as always, take care, my friend. It was good to see you today. And with that, I'll listen out for my 73 round. I'll make this it. KF2WR, 73 to all. Back over to you, Loeb.
Andy, KF2WR and K2IRD Group. Got WAVAXA. Just sitting here right now looking at the, I just got some mail here. I did about 15 QSL trucks since the top of the last hour there for the K1R special event. And just going through the mail and going through the QSL trucks there. I have one wicked collection of QSL trucks from all over the place from the 72 Rancho. And just amazing to see all these things. You know, from basic handwritten cards to some of these really, really, really elaborate type of cards there, showing rigs, showing QTHs and such there. So just had one from Utah come in, and it showed the mountain ranges and some pretty scenery out there. Again, like always, Andy, you've seen it, and I've seen it. We're going to continue seeing it. Be it on a motorcycle, be it in the Jeep, be it in the camper, I'll try to get out and enjoy as much as possible. So we're clear with KF2WR. We'll give it over to Marcus one more time, and then we'll go down the list. Marcus, she's all yours. You got K2IRD.
Okay, well, I'll say good evening to Andy. And, Lobi, it sounds like you got your hands full over there with all those cards. None of them other guys from the ranch who give you a hand with that?
What I do is I take care of that. I'm the special event coordinator for the rag show. You've got Dan, 88I, who takes care of the net control stations, and Russ, K1LRB. They take care of all the net control stations. So I do this. I do the special events and the certificates, and I have a lot of fun doing it. Matter of fact, we just finished the anniversary, the 6th anniversary of the 72 series, and I've been sending out the QSL cards, and we just had another one on July 3rd and July 4th, Independence Day weekend. So what we usually do is we take the same anniversary cards and we pre-print the July 4th weekend, the special greeting to everybody working us, and then we send those cards after. Another big thing coming up is Labor Day, the Tasmanian Devil Special. Let me just drop this out for a second. We have our Tasmanian Day, Labor Day weekend specials on 7272. That's on 40 meters, 7.272 for everybody listening. And we start about 8:15 in the morning on that Saturday of Labor Day weekend. And we go till about 2 or 3 o'clock until the band finally collapses all together. And we get quite a few people checking in. Of course, I do the certificate every year. We have our mascot, the Tasmanian Devil, the Warner Brothers Tasmanian Devil. And I try to incorporate him in all the USLs and certificates that we do. That's what we do over here, Marcus. Back to you.
Yeah, I think you got a call in there. Okay, Lobby. I kind of figured out why I remembered that there was a club meeting on the air tonight. There's no Yankee game. Usually I'm watching a Yankee game and doing something around the house. They're on the West Coast, so they're not starting till 10 o'clock tonight. So I said, you know what? I think I'll get on the net. I'm glad I did. WA2AXZ, this is N2LTV, and Lobby, I'll talk to you another day.
All right, Mark, you be well, take care of yourself. And again, we'll put a notice out with Wally and the gang when we're going to have our next face-to-face meeting. Usually in the summer, we just lay back and let things go. We'll meet on the radio from time to time and see what's going on. But I believe September, oh dear, bear with me. One second here, let me stand up and look at the calendar. I happen to have the calendar here. I think probably around September 2nd or September 9th, we'll get the gang together and do what we do the best. Sit down, have a cup of coffee, and figure out where we're going to take K2IRD from here. Marcus, again, all the best to the family. We're clear with Marcus, N2LTV, and the other station. Come in, please.
Okay, BQ, good evening.
Hey, how you been, BQE? You got WA2AXZ here. Haven't spoken to you for a while. How's everything on your side?
Things going okay. Right now I'm portable. On my VX-177 here in the neighborhood, enjoying the little cool weather.
You're definitely right about the little cool weather. It's a big 84 degrees up here in the shack. And it's getting a little too warm up here. I've got the fans on, the basset hound is huffing and puffing up here, good.
I hear you. It's been up in the 90s here in Brooklyn. We had one day that it was 103 degrees out here. And tomorrow it's going to be like close to 96, 97 from what I hear on the weather. But let's see what happens there. Alright, well, I heard everybody in there just wanted to say hello, hello, and I hope everybody, you know, has a great night and all that other good stuff there. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Lee.
KB2V, Q check-in.
There we go, Val. Checking in, too, VQ and BQE. Well, you have a great time out there. Try to stay cool. I know when you do the emergency services out there, it's rough on the entire gang, especially in this hot, hot weather. 84 degrees right now isn't bad, but it must have been hell for everybody, all the emergency services the other day. When it was 101, 103, that's a little too hot for me. I'm used to working in the power substations, and our substations, we usually run about 115, 120 on the control floor. A lot of heat. We have fans and blowers and everything trying to cool us off. But definitely throughout the day is working you know, helping people. There's got to be a lot of hard work and a lot of effort put in there. All right, we'll clear with DQE at the time, and let's pick up the stranger out in Queens there. How doing there?
I'm doing well, Lobie. Didn't know if I could hit you or not. I only am working off my HT, and it's not doing too good. I got to get a new battery. But it's good hearing your voice out there. Unfortunately, we didn't get a chance to do our field day, but I was able to listen in. I didn't check in because I didn't want to fill out the paperwork. But otherwise, everything was fine, and you and I got to hook up together. I want to try to get that antenna tuned a little bit. I need your tester to get that 15 meter back again. So whenever you get a chance, I'll give you a call from time to time and you can let me know. KB2VEQ. WA2AXZ, KB2VEQ.
Alright, now when things calm down a little bit, I'll come out there and we'll give you a hand and get everything tuned up and set up. Did you ever get that antenna tuner, the MSA antenna tuner?
No, I kind of put that on the back burner for right now, but I'll go in and look at something and see what's available there. Something that'll handle, a kilowatt of power or so. I told that guy at HRO said I didn't need a tuner, but I'll take your word for it and try to get something worked out pretty soon.
Well, I tell you, Val, if the SWR is below 2 to 1, no, you don't need a tuner. You don't need a tuner. But with that gap antenna that you have and all the connections up there, because sometimes when the SWR goes a little too high, and again, you've got a nice linear there, I'd hate to damage the thing. I went out and I picked up this nice, what is it again? The NFJ986. It's a roller inductor tuner. It's good for 1.5 kilowatts, 1.5 kW. And I've been using my little Ameritron here and haven't had a problem since. I've had it here for a couple of years now and it does its thing quite nicely. One thing that I did do is I changed the panel lights. I went to the Dayton, Ohio Hamfest and they were selling these new blue LED lights. Apparently that's the new thing for MFJ. They changed all their lighting on there from little incandescent peanut bulbs to the LEDs. So I've got that in there now and cast a nice shine. Makes it look a little more modern, guys.
Definitely. Well, I'll check into it and give me that model number again, MFJ.
986. Again, it's 986. It's the differential T roller inductor tuner.
Roger, 986. I'll check, take a look at that in the book and check the price on it and everything and see if it's doable within the next couple of weeks.
Should be. My phone just rang downstairs. Someone's talking to my answering machine, so I'll have to run down and find out who it is after the little session is over. Again, it's a good little tuner. It's a nice general purpose tuner, 10 through 80 and 160 included. So it does the job quite well. I went upstairs on the roof and on my vertical antenna. Since I spend a lot of time on 40 meter 72, 73, I tuned everything for almost a perfect SWR on 72. So I go direct and bypass the tuner. But I do have it set to the 160 meter antenna. And every time I switch from antenna to antenna, it's nothing more than a snap of the switch and away you go. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens, but definitely I'll come out there and give you a hand. So, other than that, just wondering how you're coping with the heat over there. You got WA2AXZ for the K2 IRC group.
Well, I got a couple of window ACs, and they're working pretty good. That day when it hit 101, I ended up sleeping on the sofa, because that was one of the coolest spots. Little Dylan is, just taking a little trip out in the morning and out in the evening, and otherwise he's laying under the air condition also. I'm not going to hold you too much longer. I just wanted to say good talking to you, and I'll let you, this will be my final, and I'll clear and let you go in there. WA2AXZ, KB2VQ for your final. It's your FBR Mobile.
Alright, we got Steve, FBR Mobile out there. Hang in there, Steve. Alright, definitely, you have a good one over there. Try to find a cool spot, especially for the dogs. I turned on my air conditioner for the first time the other night, and I felt sorry for the basset hound, so I let him come up. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, I was wondering why I was falling off the side of the bed. And the little guy jumped up on the bed, and he's a good 40 inches long now, from tip of his nose to his tail. He's big. And he just sprawled out on his back, and he's stretching, and he's enjoying every bit of the air conditioning. And he started pushing me off the bed as if to say, well, thank you very much, now get out.
That's a great one. I'm glad Dylan is still small. not me, but my daughter has him in the bed with her sometimes, so I haven't heard her crying or him crying much, so I guess it's working out for the both of them. KV2VEQ.
All right. You know, he's looking at me. He's saying, like, when are you going to take me out for my little walk? As soon as I'm done over here with Steve, we'll close up shop and let out. All right, Val, hang in there. How you doing, Steve? Where are you now? Heading on the Jersey Shore? You're still on the island of Manhattan?
Oh, I just left Keensburg a few minutes ago, and making my way down to, yep, you're right, going down to the shore, down to Belmont to my mom's house, also known as the Southern Command Post, as I call it, but, yeah. It's been brutal, to say the least. It's been absolutely terrible. 2-7 yard is like an open air oven up there, and in the morning going down to Dykeman Street to help take the rush hour trains out of service, it's really been insane this whole week. So it's been very, very uncomfortable, and it's been knocking me out. I've been passing out when I get home at night, so that's pretty much all I've been doing is just dealing with the heat. Haven't done much of anything, museum train wise or radio wise at all. Nothing. And I want to say hello to Val. I don't know who else is in here, but good evening, Val. And my only safe haven with air conditioning off the property is my own car. So at least that works. Knock on wood. I probably jinxed myself now. WA2AXZ with the K2IRT group, W2FBR Mobile.
Okay, let me just say hello to Steve Lobey, and you can take back over. Hi, Steve. Good hearing your voice again. Glad to hear that you're back on with the net. We've been having so much trouble with these repeaters lately until I know if you even tried, you probably couldn't get through. I'm going to clear now. KB2VEQ, clear.
All right. Again, you have a good one. All my regards to your XYL, the family, and give that little puppy dog a hug for me there. And, yeah, I know what Steve's going through up at 207th Street Yard. I've been up there many a summer during blackouts, and it's hot. It's hot. You'd think you'd get a breeze off the water, but there's almost nothing up there. You're just like walking across the ovens of tracks, and that's about it. Well, tomorrow, Steve, I'm going to be heading over to Picking Yards. The Con Edison guys are going to come out, and they're going to pick up that old dynamo I rebuilt. And we'll get that out of the way and clear it up for my next project. It's pretty busy at the museum. Doing a lot of running around with the Liberty Science Center. Apparently, the Transit Museum engaged them to work with the electrical exhibit. These are professional people that do the
do exhibits at various museums across the country. So they've been engaged to help out with the electrical exhibit. And, I'm in the middle of that right now. We're trying to kick that thing off and get that thing going. It's going to be fun when we get it done. Other than that, hold on. Yeah, I go there once a week to walk through the cars. I reverse all the lights, and I just change all the lights right now on all the static cars down there, just trying to keep everything lit. And we're at a point now where they ran out of fluorescent bulbs for the cars. We've got these 4 foot DC fluorescent bulbs, and we're on our last 5 or 6 bulbs. And they've been looking around trying to dig up a couple of cases of this just to keep the museum lit. So we'll have to find out if there's any hanging around. If you happen to see any up in 207th Street Yard, give a shout. We'll come running for them, guys.
I think I doubled with you for a good portion of the transmission. I was just saying goodbye to Val. I guess I waited too long and I figured you didn't pick it up, so I thought, I guess, well, anyway, I missed part of what you said concerning the, I missed everything before we were talking about the dynamo, but, well, the person you might want to ask about that would either be Billy Alcott or Bill Wall. I see Billy Alcott, every day when I'm at work, so what I'll do is, I'll see what he can scrounge up, and, if you have a chance to talk to Bill Wall, maybe you can work it from his end. I know he's been very busy and a few issues have cropped up. He's going 100 different ways at once. God bless him. But what I'll do first thing Monday, when I see Billy's, I'll ask him about those, DC bulbs, those fluorescents for you guys, and, he may have a stash around someplace, Lobie. Go ahead.
QSL on the QSL. What I've been doing is, I've been prolonging the life. Again, once a week I've been throwing the reverses on all those old fluorescent cars there, whatever R number it happens to be. So we're getting some extra life out of the bulbs. And I'm keeping the tubes that we have left for the money train, because that's where the museum people hold the classes with the kids down on those trains. So I want to make sure they stay fully lit. But there's going to come a point in time where I'm going to have to use these things, and that's it. Then they're going to have to figure out what we're going to do. I know it's a special order to get these bulbs, and if they're not going to be around anymore, it's time for Bill and Art Murphy and myself to we'll sit down and figure out what we're going to do with these cars. Maybe convert them over to regular fluorescents, the modern fluorescents, put an inverter at the bottom of the train and be done with it that way. I know it's going to be one heck of a big wiring job, but, there's only so much you can do with the antique equipment that we have. W2FBR, you got the K2IRT group.
Well, what would be a big help is if they had a 32-volt low-voltage supply or, 37.5-volt supply that was running, and all the cars, the post-war season, all the electric portions obviously are shot, and it's all train line. What would actually help the situation is to have battery voltage on these things so that the polarity reverses to be like the reverse once every 2 minutes or so. But I don't know. That would be an interesting thing to do. But then you have the issue with the batteries, maintaining the batteries, making sure there's water in them and so on and so forth, which means climbing underneath the cars. You're not going to be putting a big giant charge on them, but that could be an interesting stopgap thing, just to have a large 37.5-volt supply hooked up to the electric portion on the one end of the car, let's say on the IRT side, and have the battery voltage cut in on the cars to where those polarity reversing relays can operate by themselves. Go ahead.
WCSBR and the K2IRD group, WA2AAZ. Yeah, well, that's one of the questions that Joe Cunningham and I have been asking, if those polarity reversers, the automatic ones, are working or not. Again, I don't think there's been any real maintenance on these cars. And I walk through the cars. I make it a point to walk through once a week. And I can tell by the burning of the bulb there, like one side starts to get dark, the other one is light, that they're not reversing on their own. So that's why we throw the manual reverses and keep things going. It's never ending, Steve. It's never ending. We're just trying to keep a fleet of dinosaurs going. And no matter what, you know, we'll keep them going. We'll at least for the static displays in the museum. But we'll have to talk with Bill and the rest of the gang what they're going to do with the road cars. They had a lot of problems. When was it, 489 or whatever, that the IND car? That thing lost its power supply, and we lost the lights in there. I think Bill and the gang had to come back and fix that thing. Bear with me 1 second, Steve. Let me find out if anyone else is still with us on K2IRT. This is WA2AZ. Alright, Steve, not hearing anybody. You got WA2. Ah, jeez, the dog just nibbled my hand. I've got this basset hound on my lap that's busting my chops. He wants to go out for a little walk. He's only an eight-month-old puppy, but from nose to the tip of the tail, he's already over 4 feet long. Talk about having a dachshund. This thing is a monster.
Yeah, they grow awfully fast, don't they? Am I making the UHF side of the system okay, Lobby, or am I noisy?
A little noisy, but we have you there. And the basset hound approves.
Okay. Well, getting back to those polarity reversing relays, they need 32 volts. They need a 37.5 volt in order for those things to work. So, with the battery supply shut off, the low voltage supply is cut out on those cars. Obviously, there's no low voltage since the polarity reversing relays don't work on their own.
Well, again, Steve, this is why I need the guys that know the trains backwards and forwards. I know the power system. I've worked for 40 years in the power system. I know how to keep the third rail alive, and I've never really played with trains, so I'm just starting to learn about trains and the inner workings through the museum. So I can keep things going somewhat, but I know they're a little skittish about making anything but the basic lights alive. They had a couple of cars that nearly burned down there because the 600 volts got out and caused a lot of mischief. The only big thing that I have to do, and I'm waiting for Bill to get back to me, I have to change a couple of sockets on the BMT standard car. We're missing half the lights on the end of the car, and I've noticed that by one of the signs there's an old socket. Apparently the bulb just started to arc and burned all the contacts all the way down to the base of the shell. So I want to just make sure we do everything right. And again, as they said, I'm the power electrician, not the train electrician. So, you know, there's only so much I can do for so much. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's totally understandable. Yeah, on the BMT standards and on the D-types, and also the Q car and the BUs down there, they use series string. So if you lose one bulb, you get five bulbs in the string that go out. So that's one way of isolating it on those cars. Now on the R1s and the R9s, the IND equipment, those cars are set up with 30 volt bulbs where the whole string, so everything in the car, everything on the R1 to 9 is a complete series string with 30 volt special shorting filament bulbs. So I don't know if you knew that or not. so on and so forth. You don't want to go mixing and matching bulbs. So just keep in mind that the all the BMT cars, all 130 volt bulbs, standard AC current bulbs with a 5 and a string. And on the R9s, it's, I guess it's about 20 in a string, but the whole car is lit up that way. So just beware, and if you ever have to change light bulbs, make sure you shut the switch off in the cab, because there's a tendency when you unscrew a bulb that's lit, especially when they're lit, that they'll arc in the base, and you don't want that. But you knew that already. I'm just a rookie here. WA2AXZ with K2IRT Group. This is W2FBR.
Hey, W2FBR, WA2AXZ in the K2IRT Group. And a basset hound that's chewing my fingers off. Dog, come on. Calm down here. Yeah, well, when I do the BUs and all the other old BMT cars, I wait for a string to go out. And then what I do is I open up the cab and I get the power switch all set up. And the bulbs that are out, what I do is rather than, you know, Charlie Sachs had an interesting way of changing bulbs. If all five were out, he would change all five. And that wasn't really necessary. So I just take one bulb at a time out, check it with an ohmmeter, and when I find the open bulb, then I screw the other bulb in, and oh well, all the lights come back on like the Christmas tree lights. So, but I know a lot of that stuff is very fragile. The old wooden cars, you got to be very, very careful. And I noticed again on that standard car where the knife switch is for the lights, that there's quite a few relays in that door panel there that have burned. And I don't know where or when that ever happened in its life there. But they don't even have fuses anymore, to the point where Bill and Art Murphy and the gang are just putting a fine wire across the fuse holder, and that's acting as a fuse. So we used to call that the Kelowna fuse, the power department. So again, we'll keep this AMP going. Steve, if I don't take this dog for a walk, he's either going to take my arm down to a stump. He's going to take it down to a stump or leave me a surprise package here. I'm going to have to take him out. It's time for him to go, because he's giving me all the signs, take me out or else. W2FBR, IRT Group.
It actually has a gear circuit that works, but certain things you just don't want fused up for fear of, you know, people getting in there and playing with it. You don't want a D3F pump running with no oil in it, considering it's got a hell of a knock in it to begin with. People cutting in heater circuits and so on, especially with a car that's been out of service probably for over 40 years with little to no care. So, Billy Alcott's also coming up with an interesting idea. He's replacing the type of fuse holders with the more modern 600 volt fuses. So he gets fuse clips from the scrap cars, the Redbirds and so on, and just uses those. And to update the So walk. I'm getting noisy more than likely, so I'll catch up with you later and come to a couple of lighting ideas for you there, that's all.
Again, I'm an electrician. I've been doing this stuff for years. I haven't had a chance to work on the trains. And that's why I put feelers out to Art Murphy and the gang for ballast and the resistors and the such, so we can get together and get these things going. If he has any intention on doing any major changes or fuse holder changes and such, we could probably do it while the trains are down in the museum, but anything more than that, we'd probably have to bring him to the yard for an overhaul somewhere. be it as it may, the Transit Museum will continue. And Steve, again, don't be a stranger. Give a shout from time to time. If you have a chance to get on 40 meters, stop by the 7272 Chew when you can, especially on weekends. I'm holding court there, and I'm not even going to get on 160 tonight. I'm just going to take them. as I'm talking to you, now he's biting my leg, like he's saying, you take me out or else. Now he's barking. So, Steve, be good. Let me close up shop on the K2IRT group and thank everybody, and get this dog out for a walk before I find a surprise in the Radio Shack. Everybody, have a great night. WA2AXE, the K2IRT.